You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, my looms? My luminaries, that's my new term. I'm calling all of you out there, my wonderful fans, my audience. I am calling you the looms, the lights. You must be the people out there that are aware, conscious, up in spirit, no matter what's going on. You handle the circumstances. And then you have those beings that support us along the way as we clean up our negative karma, move into our new lives, and all of those sorts of things. So I wanted to welcome everybody to the set today. Today we're doing a commentary. I think you'll find it interesting when you hear what we're going to talk about. But first of all, before we get started, let's thank our sponsor, Coldwell Banker. Hey, Kevin Pike. He is a senior real estate and probate specialist, 818-571-1508. He's cutie. And so he will take care of all of your real estate needs. There's a lot of moving and relocating going on these days. I don't know. Some people are moving in state. Some people are moving out of state. So no matter what, we are doing what we should be doing at this right place and time. So today, I want to talk about the business of art versus the soul of art. So I'm an artist. That's my painting in the background. And everything you see on the wall is something I did myself. It's very hard earned. I have a herniated disc in my back and my neck from an accident many years ago. Every once in a while, it causes me problems depending on how I move and how I take care of my back. So that painting was painting on the floor. I was in pain and I had nothing but my elbow and the floor to gauge to paint. It's on a piece of wood. There's another painting I recently did that I had to do in pain. Again, I had to lie on the floor and do a whole, I think it's like, it's big. It's like 16 by 26 or something like that with a palette knife. So, you know, these things are not always like, oh, everything looks so easy. People that are talented make things look easy. It doesn't mean they're easy. It just makes things look easy. So I want to talk about today, valuation versus validation, particularly in the art world. So let's talk about, first of all, I got a thing for Neve Campbell. Now, ever since she did Wild Things, you make my heart sing. That's what it reminds me of. You make everything groovy. Wild Thing. It's a wild thing. I think I love you. And I want to know for sure. Wild Things. So she did that movie. It's a classic. She did it back, I think, what is it, 70s or something like that, 80s, where she and Denise Richards. Now, get this. These are two high school girls that tricked and manipulated the professor, did the police. They did all of them and then got them all twisted in the head, except for Bill Murray, who ended up supporting Neve Campbell. Now, what I like about Neve Campbell, I love Denise Richards. She's a great actor as well. But what I love about Neve Campbell is Neve Campbell is always playing the underestimated character. She's always underestimated. She doesn't look like she knows anything. She comes off like, oh, maybe she's a little loopy, a little stupid acting, but very, very intensely focused on her goals. So whatever she puts her mind to, every movie that I've seen her in, including the Scream franchise, she always outsmarts everybody because she looks like nobody expects her to do anything. She doesn't talk a lot about what she's going to do. She just kind of does it like most people do that take action. Why would you go out and brag about what you're going to do and all of that? You know, do it. And then let people come and say, oh, I didn't know you did that. Yeah. Well, you guys were all talking and running your mouths. We were taking action. So that's kind of like the movie. Now, when they first asked her to do the Scream franchise, I think there was something about a salary dispute, which brings in my thing of art valuation versus art validation. So valuation is like, oh, if a celebrity likes your art or celebrity buys your music, you must be the shit. That has nothing to do with anything. You know, it took me a long time, because I'm being honest with you. I've been in Hollywood since the 80s. 1982, 1981, I got in LA, June, hot. 1981. By 1982, I was in all the circles. I had written Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire a note telling him I was his soulmate, because he was the only brother of color that I could see that was into metaphysics and really understood certain concepts about metaphysics. So he was easy for me to talk to. And very, very good friend. We became very, very good friends, not so much with the glitter in my eyes that I thought. But over time, as I matured, because he's quite considerably older than me, I got it. And so because of my chanting, which led me into LA, which led me into this whole circle of artists. So Maurice, Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter, Benny Maupin, all of those people, the people that a lot of the dancers that did Michael Jackson's the one with the Thriller, a lot of those dancers were Buddhist. So because I was in this certain circle of spiritual energy, I was able to attract all of these people. And that's kind of how I got my start. They pulled me into the circle. The next thing I knew, stars were all in my eyes. I just couldn't think that anybody that was a star or a celebrity would be tainted. And that's just not the case. It is not the case. It's not true. People are human no matter what field they're in. A lot of stars wouldn't know a painting from a piece of wood. They are not in the art like that. Somebody may have to advise them, this is a good piece of art, or that is a good piece of art, or whatever. But at any rate, my point is that just because someone validates and they're a celebrity or they're considered to be some expert in art doesn't mean that they know anything about the soul or the energy that that person puts into the art. So we have all kind of digital platforms now. Nev Campbell is coming out, I think, with Scream 7. It's due to drop February 27th in theaters, so it should be good. And I'm glad it's kind of a comeback for her to do her thing. Now, in her case, she's proven that she's a great, incredibly talented actor, very intense. That's what I like about her. She has this thing that she can just do things without doing much. She can look a certain way. Her energy is a certain kind of energy that draws you in and draws you in. So, you know, I've never seen her go out chasing roles or, you know, things like that. If it is, then it's very behind the scenes and maybe not a lot of people are privy to her private world and what she does. So in the movie, the classic Wild Things, like I said, these were two teenage girls. Now, you guys talk about the freedom that women don't have and they do have, especially in the art world of acting, painting, anything that you may have some longevity in. You can paint the rest of your life if you decide to be a painter. You can act the rest of your life. They have roles. That's why when women, as we mature, unfortunately, in some circles, Hollywood will cast them as somebody's mother. You've got to be somebody's aunt or whatever. Whereas, you know, people like me are now on the rise where we're over a certain age, over a certain thing, and still have the energy that we need to carry out the responsibilities that we've committed ourselves to. So, in the end of Wild Things, Nev Campbell ends up getting all the money. I think she hires Bill Murray for an attorney. They figure out how to screw everybody, including Denise Richards, who ends up dead in the movie. So at the end, she is the smart one. She kept all her cards close to her chest and, you know, just moved on what she thought she was supposed to be moving on. That takes me into the superficiality of talent and authentic talent. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people have been able to do things because of who they know, what they know, what they're willing to do these kind of things. I don't have that. I listen to my own intuition. I left home at 16. My family doesn't get to tell me what to do. I've never listened to anyone but myself. If I do listen, it's from someone I hold in high respect and high regard. And I believe what they tell me. And not only that, they give me references to go and check. Here, Osiris, you want to learn about astrology? These are the best books to study. These are the best. These are top of the field in their field. These are the best theosophy, you know, theosophians. These are the best mentors that you can have in that world. So I noticed that in the world of art, especially in people that even do tarot cards and things like that, it's considered to be an art. It's a trade. It's a skill. A lot of people don't know what they're talking about. I particularly am very picky about how someone interprets cards, especially when life is subject to change from moment to moment. So all someone has to do is basically make a different decision, and that erases the whole whatever they read. So it's based on commonalities, what people are most likely to do under situations. But if you're an independent thinker, you follow your own horn, like my mother and father taught us, use your own brains. That's what you got them for. Use your own mind. That's what you have it for. And because I was raised like that, I've learned to follow my own intuition. Usually when I take any kind of action, it's based on prayer. I've chanted a lot. I've gotten some kind of inner guidance, which usually comes to me in some sort of voice. I used to dream a lot when I was younger, but now I don't dream a lot. I hear something says something. Do this, do that. Did you think this? You know, did you think of it that way? Blah, blah, blah. So I am tapped in enough, and a lot of people are, that you can hear your own inner voice. That's the only voice you need to listen to. Unless it's someone, as I said, you respect and you hold in high regard. But I find out as I'm maturing, a lot of people don't know a lot, and they'll give you an opinion versus the facts about something. They'll give you their opinion. Okay, what do I do to do this? I've learned to say, I don't know. I don't know. This is what I would do, and this is how I might respond, but I don't know what you might need to do for yourself. I don't know what you might need to do in any situation. I'm not you. You know, we have to understand that everyone has different karmic circumstances that provide them with different things that they listen to, depending on how developed they are, what stage they're in, and growth, their age, their culture, all of these things come along in the subjects of metaphysics as well. As I said, there are authentic people, and there are people that are superficial. I've learned that in any subject that one takes interest to, you have to study. It's study. You're not going to get around it, or we sound stupid. If you don't know what you're talking about, people will know based on how you come across, or based on what you're saying, how you're saying it, the timing of when you're saying it, how you're feeling and everything. All those things take professionalism. So, you know, there are many people that think they can just get away with doing kind of superficial things. But eventually, as anyone in the talent world will tell you, the cream always rises to the top. It doesn't matter if somebody can mimic me, look like me, act like me. You can never be me. You have not walked in my shoes. And a lot of things that have happened to me, most people couldn't even endure and still get to say I'm over 60 and I have tons of scars that I've been able to put some salve on and heal and learn from them. So a lot of people, one thing happens to them, they'll fall apart. One serious thing, because they've never had to endure anything to have to develop any kind of strength or endurance or resilience or things like that. Whereas in my life, I've been forced to do those things simply because as someone that I would say that has studied a great deal and been around people that are considered to be mentors in those fields, my privy, I was usually the only person of color in the room, but I got to hear and see things that most people would not ever see or hear in their whole life. And nobody can take that from someone. Anyone that's had those kind of experiences, no one can take that from you. And that's what makes an authentic person versus something superficial. So in the movie, the Scream 7, by the way, I said is due to drop in theaters on February 27th. So look out for it. I'm looking forward to seeing Neve Campbell's comeback. I know she is very, very popular in most of the Scream, and it helps the Scream franchise. It's nice to know that the Scream franchise is still around. So there is a movie that was featured at the Sundance Film Festival this past January, starring Natalie Portman and Jenna Ortega. Natalie plays an artist, I think, and then Jenna Ortega plays her assistant. So what they try to do, from what I know about the movie, is they try to, we're going to talk about several movies because they bring up the subject of art and what I'm talking about, the soul of art versus the valuation of art, which is like, you know, people that know art, they know art. They know it. They know it. And then there's the fact that what are you going to do with the art if someone in your family, you know, you're old now, whatever, and you don't, the art may not mean the same, or it may be a collector's piece. What are you going to do with it since we can't take it over to the other side with us? So those are kind of things you have to consider as well. But in the movie The Gallerist, Natalie Portman and Jenna Ortega try to pass off a dead body as a piece of art. Now, I'm going to take that whoever wrote this and directed it saw the movie Velvet Buzzsaw, which I'm going to go into next. Velvet Buzzsaw, there is a scene in the movie where Zawe Ashton, who plays Josefina in the movie, along with Rene Russo, who plays Redora in the movie, she calls her after they discover this artist. We'll get more into that. And the kids that come into the gallery think that the art, a dead body, is actually a piece of art. But it's actually a dead person, that blood and everything's on the floor, and they think it's some kind of exhibition. So that should tell us a lot about superficiality and authenticity, because I would think that anyone would know a dead body from a corpse, an actual corpse from a person that's alive and might have fainted or something. Plus, I don't think a person alive would have all this blood on the floor. But for kids, and everything is so real, and we've got AI and virtual this and virtual that, they probably did think it was a real body. So I think that the gallerist might have taken a scene from that and put their take on it by having these two women try to smuggle or get a dead body in and have it, pass it off as a piece of art to help to save their gallery and to help save whoever the people are in charge. So that is the movie, The Gallerist. That's what it's supposed to be about. So let's just think about real artists. Now I'm thinking about Da Vinci, and it's not that I don't want to talk about the modern day artists. We have so many, many wonderful artists from all walks of life now that are accepted. But who are the people that decide that you're the artist that should be popular and everybody's buying your work? And who makes those decisions and who's not? So there are some artists that have worked really hard. Now, I've been doing art since 2012. When I started, everybody said, it's going to take you at least 10 years. I'm like, what? I'm not going to take no 10 years, you know, blah, 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 blah. And again, when our eyes see things, sometimes we see things that are bigger in our minds or even smaller in our minds, depending on what happens, that don't match the reality of what's going on. I was one of those people. I didn't know the business of art. I knew about art, but I didn't know the business of art. So in talking to Maurice and in talking to other people, like Carla Goldberg, a very established curator and artist at the Baugh Gallery in New York, after talking to Bibiana Wong Mateus, our Art Women's International group, after doing Saatchi, after doing Barnsdall, after going over there and hanging out with the ACCA Gallery, after doing the Miami Art Basel show, virtual shows and all of those. There is a business side to art that has nothing to do with art. It's based on somebody's personality, or they might like this person for whatever reason. Oh, we don't like her because she has red curly hair. Or, you know, her eyes are brown. Why aren't they blue or whatever? Because I am who I am. And that's how I was born, with brown eyes. And unless I want to change them to put on a contact or something like that, I don't know one thing on this earth yet. And I've tried a lot of things that can change the color of your eyes. Now, a lot of mixtures come out on people's skin and things like that as they get older and they're mixed or blended. A lot of things will come out, like all of a sudden the person will look much different than they were when they were younger, because it's a different side of their gene pool that's coming out. And so in terms of all of those things, I didn't know this. I had to find these things out. I remember some young black girl came up to me at Saatchi in Dallas. And if you go on my YouTube channel, you'll see some of the clips. They filmed me because I was dancing the whole time, because I was kind of bored standing inside of a booth, you know, for 4 days or whenever it was, 4 or 5 days. And I started dancing, which I normally do. I revert to dancing, singing, and performing whenever there's something going on around me. That's how I found to make myself happy. But the young girl came into the booth and she looks at her mom, and her mom looks at me, and I have my sister there with me. And she says, "Ew, that's ugly," or something. And so her mom, embarrassed, goes, "Oh," you know, she pulls the girl away, you know, and goes, "Oh, don't you dare say that." Maybe to the girl it was ugly, but I don't expect somebody 10, especially 9 or 10 or whatever, and the parents don't know anything about art. Why would I expect that they would understand art? I'm sure that when Jean-Michel Basquiat, and I'm sure when Da Vinci, Picasso, Mark Bradford, I think he's one of the new artists, not new artists, but he's been around a while. He's here in LA. I'm sure a lot of those people weren't accepted either. I mean, Da Vinci didn't make a dime off of his work until he was dead. And that's what I don't like. Why do we have to have people dead before we recognize them? Why? And again, like I said last week on a separate show, it bothers me that the civilization is slow. And it's because of spiritual development. Being a Christian, being the name of a Buddhist or a Judaist or whatever, you know, you may find yourself, doesn't make you smart on anything spiritual. In order to learn, in my opinion, about spirituality and life, one has to live life. And one has to live life completely without avoiding, oh, I don't want to go through this, so I'm going to try to avoid it. So I'm going to lie, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to steal. I'm going to try to go in the back door. And some point, life will come back to you and say, okay, remember all them shortcuts you thought you took? Here they are right here. They didn't go anywhere. You weren't ready, so we say, we put them in a locker over there just for you. So when you came into yourself, you'd have these tests that you have to go through. So the same thing in the art world, someone may spend years perfecting their art and never experience any kind of commendations, recommendations, valuations, validations that may, excuse me, that may or may not ever happen. But surely, if someone spends a great deal of time perfecting a craft, perfecting what they do, then that day will come. Something will happen eventually if you're working on it. So again, this takes me back to what I talked about, superficiality versus authenticity. Who's superficial and who's authentic? Usually the authentic people at some point, everyone is going to know they're authentic because they're going to do things that authentic people do. They're going to respond in the ways that authentic people work. The guy that runs LA Talk Radio, the owner, who helps with every part of his station, has been doing this for 17, 18, 19 years. So I doubt if some little pipsqueak will show up, oh, now, oh, I'm an expert because I have AI or whatever. Honey, AI cannot walk you through life. Only your 2 feet, the brain we have, the heart we have, the arms we use to move can walk through life. And even if you're 25, if you're fortunate enough to live longer, you're going to be 35 at some point. You're going to be 45, going to go to 50, 60, 70, whatever, however long your life cycle is. And life is going to present you to things that you won't find in a book. AI can't do it. AI can give you a theory about it, but unless you walk through it and experience it, it won't mean anything. I'm being honest with you all, my looms out there. You cannot get out of life. It is not, you cannot cheat yourself through life. You can paint and try to fake, try to copy people all you want to. At some point, brings to that movie, I think it was called Big Eyes. And it's a true story about a painter, a woman painter who got married. And the guy in the movie, what's his name, George? I can't remember. But anyway, the guy in the movie who plays her husband is a very popular actor. He also played in Django with Jamie Foxx and Samuel Jackson. But he plays in this movie, he plays her husband. Instead of supporting the woman, a good woman is going to help. Like, look, I'm making money. You know, you can do this and that. We both can make money. He gets greedy and jealous and starts lying, signing his name, telling the wife, oh, let me sign my name because that way, you know, you'll get more noticed or whatever. I'm like, what? So she starts letting him do it. He starts bringing her money. And then all of a sudden, this fool thinks that he's the one with the shine. And he's the one with the arts. So what happens is that she eventually catches on that her husband is a crook, a fraud, and gets an attorney. They take them into court. And the judge says, well, we're going to find out who's the artist. We're going to find out right now. He asked both of them to do a painting in front of the court and show who's the artist. Of course, her husband couldn't do anything because he didn't know how to paint. He was just signing his name to her work. She, of course, they knew immediately that she was the artist because she came up with, you know, what the artist is supposed to do. So in terms of, you know, like the gallerist, where they try to put off something that's supposed to be a work of art, it's not flying. Anybody that has been in the art business, like the guy, John, or in the movie Velvet Buzzsaw, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. Anybody that's been in the art world, critic, advisor, it takes years to learn art. I'm telling you, from somebody that wanted to get around it, okay, it ain't going to take me this, that, and the other. Well, who did I think I am? To be talking about, oh yeah, I'm going to be a well-known artist. And even if something happens that you reach stardom overnight, you won't have the development to handle it. And eventually pressure, things that we have to do, like Jean-Michel Basquiat, who was very, very young. You know, I've watched documentary after documentary about him. He never knew what having money was. He was around all of these people of different cultures. Nobody was honest with him about who he was and all of that. And if they tried to be, I think his ego had developed to a point where he was unwilling to hear what they had to say. But that's nobody's fault that you ended up in drugs or whatever. And then he made the statement, oh, well, when I'm high, my art is alive. But when I'm not, they say my art is dead. So you maybe should find another way. But when you're young and you haven't developed yourself as a person and don't really know who you are, you're not going to think like that. So we take somebody like Andy Warhol, who was a really good friend of his, to help him. Did you do this? Did you do that? To take care of this. And then as soon as he got popular, he lost the base, the people that were there for him when he didn't have a dime. He started hanging out with the people that were so-called it people. And none of those people really cared about him. They cared about his art and how it made them look. You know, well, I know Jean-Michel Basquiat, or, you know, I know them, so that makes me important. No, it doesn't. That makes Jean-Michel Basquiat a hell of an artist and somebody that deserved to have honest people around him. And then, you know, as far as what the documentary said, he was always trying to get validation from his father. See, because his father was very high in the business world, some kind of businessman, and kind of looked down on Jean-Michel because he was an artist and kind of was taking a different route. The mother, who was in a mental hospital at some point, was the one that introduced him to museums and art and different things that she would say, and that encouraged his artistic side. But at the same time, the man was very, 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 very bright. So I could say that perhaps his own thinking about who he was and what his legacy would be in the art world wasn't as sharp or as clear as someone that might have been a little bit more mature, had gone through some ups and downs and really understood. Like I said, it's so sad that people try to use people for their art and their talent versus being the people that support them. You know, they may not think their art is great at all. They may not even think they're attractive or any of the things that other people project onto us. Nobody's walking around, oh, I'm just so fine and I'm just so talented. I don't know anyone that does that. I don't know anyone like that. You know, you go through ups and downs. Some days your work feels like, oh my gosh, I'm brilliant. And then, you know, 2 days later you do something like, what the hell is that? You know, and then you try to outdo yourself versus some other people. So there is a lot of truth to the feeling of inadequacy. You know, I heard about Halle Berry. They were talking about her and some about she couldn't keep a man. Number one, where does all this come? It is so ignorant to me, I swear. And because it is, it's eventually all those things are going to have to go away. They don't stand on anything. There's no principles they stand on. It's someone's opinion about someone they really don't know. You don't know any of these people. I'm in Hollywood. And yeah, I've seen Halle Berry a lot of different places. But I don't hang with Halle Berry. I don't know anything about what she and Van Hunt do. I've met Van Hunt many a day. You know, new Randy Jackson managers, everybody. But we don't know those people. Halle Berry doesn't call me saying, oh, Osiris, hey, my dog was sick today. Or my aunt, blah, 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 or whatever her personal life is. I don't get those kind of phone calls. Do you? Do you? Then how do you think you can speak about somebody that their image is being fed to you by people that have to earn a living writing? Writing, they have to earn a living. The press has to earn a living telling us a story that may be blown up. It may have a lot of things in it that's really not there. You know, I do know from knowing a little bit about Van Hunt and being around him and hearing a few things about him, that he's a very nice man. I do know that. I don't know, other than Halle Berry's old stories and how she, you know, came to get an Oscar and all of those, I couldn't be happier. But like she said, what happens after you get an Oscar may not be what you think. It's like once you reach one plateau, then you got to get yourself to the next plateau. You got to keep moving up. You got to keep moving up until either you reach a goal that you're comfortable with or the world sets some kind of standard for us that we may or may not be able to live up to. That's why you can't afford, don't listen to other people about who they did. Nobody can tell you who you are. I've had people that I've since put at a distance from me tell, oh, I know who you are. No, you don't. You don't know anything about me. You know what I tell you and you know what I express to you in conversation. But the deeper things about me, only I know. Only I know. And if a few other people know, they are very, very few and far in between. It's none of their business. It's none of our business what Halle Berry does in her private world. It's none of our business. But because Hollywood has led us all around like a mule with no sense, you know, by the nose, it's, oh, believe this, believe that. Until you hear somebody say it in their own words, don't believe it. Do not. It's all been fabricated to sell you and I a story. So because I have been in the business of Hollywood since 81, worked at William Morris Talent Agency. My old boss is now a partner there. Worked at the record labels. Those are all the things that I had to do before I figured out that you cannot bypass anything that you are serious about doing. Same thing with astrology. There are many different branches of astrology. So when I hear people online talk about only natal astrology, I know they don't know much about astrology. It's a whole, it takes what? Gee, it probably takes most of your life just to figure out your own sun sign and your ascendant and your moon and what house they're in and what decadent and dwad and, you know, and when something's going to be a transit or a progression. It is involved. And it's cheap. It plays it cheap. I'd rather for people not to say anything at all about a subject that they have not bothered to study in thorough. Sit your butt down and actually put together a chart without the computer. That's what I've learned to do. Use an ephemeris to do a chart. You know, what about Greenwich Mean Time? You know, what about a time being off? What would you do? It's an art. So who's authentic and who's superficial? You know, a lot of people are very, very gifted at reading and sensing someone's emotional state because they're intuitive or, you know, they have some sensitivity. But times and dates and places, we just don't know. We don't even know when we're going to die. So how in the world are we going to know when some time might happen? That there, it can be calculated. You can have someone natal chart in your possession, and you can see, oh yeah, in June, Saturn is going to go through, this is an example, Osiris's sixth house. It's going to touch her cusp of the sixth house. It's a number. It's math, which can be proven. It's a number. It's going to touch her Saturn's at 10 degrees of whatever sign it is. And in the sixth house, Saturn, the planet Saturn out there, which is a universal planet, it's going to touch her sixth house at this many degrees. There's probably going to be some activity that goes on with her health or with her this or that, because Saturn is in her sixth house and Saturn stays, I think it stays in a sign 2 years. If I'm not mistaken, 2 years. So each planet stays with their movement out in the heavens, depending on your chart and how it's set up. Those things are very important. But to put out that, oh, yeah, it's just going to be these blanket things, that is incorrect information. And it's probably why people think a lot of these things are heretical. It's not thorough information. Some people are really good. I mean, an artist, professional, at telling and reading tarot, because they've had a lot of personal life experiences that it's like talking to your aunt or your grandmother, somebody giving you words of wisdom. Well, you know, that's probably because da-da-da-da-da, or, you know, yeah, when I was blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. But the person, again, if that person decides, oh, Osiris told me that in June of next year, I'm going to have a relationship and it's going to bleed, blah, 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 blah. And then when June gets there next year and you don't have a relationship, that the little energy that Osiris picked up was like, oh, yeah, I had a relationship for 5 minutes with the guy on YouTube. It was a movie I saw. That kind of stuff. I'm telling you the truth. Take it or leave it. You know, I'm telling you from living, from actually having to set up, sitting in astrology classes where you sit with your hand up against your head. I don't know if I want to do this. You know, in an art class, you know, in an art, I didn't even take art classes. I took one and I'm like, I don't fit in here. I will do my own thing. And I led myself in the direction that I needed to do anyway. So just remember, that's why very smart people will tell you this is for entertainment purposes only. Don't go listening to psychics and then go back and say, oh yeah, the psychic told me I was going to meet a new love and blah, blah. And when the person don't show up, you're ready to kill the psychic. No, the psychic told, or intuitive, or astrologer told you what you needed to hear at the time you heard it. Because tomorrow it could be a whole different thing. It's like the same subject is talked about, and it's almost two years later. And it's talking about the same thing. Like, okay, so in 2 years, your life has not changed at all. That somebody can still pick up a two-year peripheral around you, an auric field around you, because you haven't changed. That's why it's still the same. Because we're still going through a phase or some cycle that you're in again. If you really want to know, the next time something happens, these are major events. Somebody dies, somebody's born, you lose a relationship, you get married, you have a health problem, something financial. All of those things can be timed by an ephemeris and by having the person's correct natal chart. But you have horary astrology, you have judicial astrology, you have humanistic astrology, you have esoteric astrology, you have all kind of different branches of astrology, medical astrology. Horary astrology is when somebody asks a question for a particular circumstance. Okay, tomorrow I've got a meeting. Horary. What time is the meeting? It's going to be at 2:00. Okay, I'm going to set a chart for 2:00 the next day. You know, let's see the planets in heaven. Where there's nothing touching your house, it's only going to influence you to this degree because it's not touching any of the planets in your natal chart. It may not touch it until you get like, 35? And then all of a sudden you're going to have a conjunction hit your moon and all hell's going to break loose because it's a part of a cycle that will allow you to change. Then you have the ardent, the cadent, the succedent. You have all the different houses, what they do. Signs and houses are different. Signs is a mode of expression. A house is like, you know, what we used to learn is that the planets, the houses are the landlords and the planets are the tenants. So a planet that sits in a house the house is going to dictate how that planet responds or how that touch of the natal chart is going to respond to that particular person. So again, are we talking superficiality? Are we talking authenticity, or are we talking, about what's real and what's not real? So again, I ask you, for this, for the movie Velvet Buzzsaw, is Jake Gyllenhaal, Rene Russo, my girl. Her name is Zawe Ashton. Zawe Ashton is a British Ugandan actor. She's mixed with from Britain and London and Uganda. As a matter of fact, her grandfather, I think it's her paternal grandfather's name, is Paul Maraga. And he was actually served as the president and prime minister of Uganda all at the same time. So keep an eye on her. I saw her a long time ago in a movie called The Blitz. I saw her in another movie recently, but in Velvet Buzzsaw, she plays the woman that discovers this artist, Vichil Deet. The guy dies. She sees him on the stairs. His stuff has fallen down. She calls, tells somebody, "I discovered the guy." When literally doing greedy things, she walks in, looks at the guy's art collection. She works for one of the top galleries and decides to just take the guy's stuff and go and say, "Oh yeah, I discovered." No, you didn't. In the end, she hadn't even become a partner yet because she was still learning the ropes of buy and sell in the art world. What's her name? Toni Collette plays an art advisor. She goes from being a gallerist on to an art advisor. They all start paying, like the soul of the artist, Vichil Deet, starts one by one killing mysteriously. They start dying because of the greed that goes along with selling his art. When he died, he explicitly said, "No one is to sell my art. It should be given to charity and not sold for greed." So because they did that, every one of them except what's his name? I see him and I get it's John Malkovich, who plays an artist. Everybody, he doesn't end up dead because he, you know, he's done the festivals, the booze, everything that goes on buying and selling. He goes, look, I'm not willing to sell my soul for art anymore. I'm going to do my art. This is where I'm at and am in art. And this is where I need to be. So they all learn a really good lesson about the greed of art and the value of art versus the soul. People, I'm putting my soul, my blood into a piece that I may not even live to see sell. I may not even live long enough to see someone discover it. But the whole point is that I did it. I did it. No one can paint a painting for me. No one knows all the internal things that go on inside of me. Again, they know what the brain reveals and what I choose to say. And, you know, and if you've been studying anything about metaphysics, you learn to train the mind. You learn to train the emotions. These come from going through test after challenge after challenge in life. So I dare for people out there talking about they want to be spiritual. Oh, I'm spiritual. I'm a metaphysician. Keep saying that. And life will present you with all of the tests that angels have to go through. People that are intuitive people have to go through. Our lives are not some cherry because we decided to follow a spiritual path. As a matter of fact, it puts more pressure on you to develop into the best version of ourselves. That's what I've discovered. Again, take it or leave it. It doesn't come cheap. You can't just wake up one day and say, oh, I'm an artist. Oh, I'm a metaphysician. Oh, I know this and that. No, you don't. It takes years of study to really be a pro. So when some little girl or some guy or someone else in the society going through a problem, you actually have been there and done that. And you can help them and tell them, this is how I got through it. And this is why I don't look like I've been through anything, do I? Because I had to use this to do that. I had to find out about this. I had to do a lot of different things to learn what I know. And it is something that doesn't come cheap. So I say to you, do you want to be authentic, superficial? Do you want to be somebody that copies after everyone else? Or do you want to be yourself? So that no one can define you, no one can validate you, no one can tell you who you are. You know who you are. That way, negative thinking, ain't nobody, no, who cares? People think about negative all the time. Who cares? And usually people that are saying negative things are jealous, envious, because they ain't done nothing, don't want to do nothing, and going to be the first one grinning and skinning in your ear, you know, because you're doing something. So you got to shape up for that one. Get a, like my mother said, you can be walking with gold and somebody have something negative to say. So that's our show for today. It's close to closing time. That went by quick. Wow. Close to closing time. I want to say shout out. I love all of you out there. I like you because you show up every week. Thank you for supporting me. I couldn't do it without you. I couldn't do it without the likes, the subscribes, the shares, the people that talk bad about me. Yeah, go ahead and share. We love it. And then I love you for who you are for yourself, that you stand up for yourself, that you refuse to let other people define who you are. When you've lived in your own skin for how many years? You've walked your own with your own legs and arms for how many years? You've done this for how many years? So no one can really tell you who you are except for you. That's what they used to say, you know, be true to thine self and to thine own self. Be true. I want to give a shout out to Sam Hassan. Yay! At LA Talk Radio, who lets me shine every week and make sure that I look good on camera. Thank you, Sam, and his team. And if you want to reach me, I'm under Osiris _ Munir _ the painter on IG. You can just Google my name. I've done a lot of things, been around a lot of time. A long time. And some of those things are popping for me. When you plant seeds, they will eventually pop. So I'm glad that I hung in there and didn't give up. Because, you know, all the negatives are to make you give up. You know your goal, you know your worth. And we know what we're here to do. That's all that matters. So until next time, we'll have a guest next week. Don't forget what I've said about the soul of things versus validation. You don't need anyone to validate you. Validate yourself. That's all that matters. If my mother used to say, if everybody died in your family, what would you do? And I live by those things because I've had to be alone most of my life, you know, and deal with myself by myself and still come out smelling like roses and without being perfect, being a human being and get through it all. So I thank you for being with me this week and for listening to All We Have to Say. And don't forget to support Scream 7, my girl, Neb Campbell. I love your work. And Zawi Ashton, don't forget to support all of these beautiful people that support us by bringing us good content and good art. Talk to you soon. Bye. It's been my pleasure. Bye.
You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.